Welcome to PC Brace 2023. I'm Melinda Sampson, the Chief Operating Officer of NC Stop Human Trafficking. That's a new promotion, so we can all celebrate that. And I would introduce Bonnie Jean Curris from Teddy Bear Children's Advocacy Center, but sadly, she's not here today. But what we do, who we do have here is Karen Harrington, the Director of Student Services at Pitt County Schools. How's it going, Karen?
It's going well. Thanks, Melinda. And sorry to miss Bonnie Jean today.
I know, isn't it a shame? I don't know what she's got going on, but I'm going to say kind of rude. She's going to appreciate this when she listens to it. I assure you. I can't
sure
bet.
She's
I'm not
doing
sure.
Something fantastic.
She absolutely is. But with that, super happy to have you here today. My first question is, it's going to be, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself and what does the Director of Student Services at Pitt County Schools do?
So student services in Pitt County Schools is encompasses all of our support staff, our school nurse managers, our school social workers, and our school counselors is under this umbrella. So we provide support to students and their families for some of the things that may interfere with their learning and attendance at school and behavior. Within student services, then we also help provide and connect families to mental health, topics such as bullying and the code of conduct come under my area, section 504, which is accommodation plans for students that have mild disabilities. So it's a pretty broad umbrella.
That is a really broad umbrella. Well, tell me about yourself, Karen. How did you get to Pitt County Schools as Director of Student Services and all of that and all that entails? How did this happen to you, Karen?
It's the beginning of the 23-24 school year, and this is my 30th year in education. I've done all but 4 years of that career in Pitt County Schools. I started out in Elizabeth City, Pascotank, and then came to Pitt County Schools as a school psychologist for a large majority of my career, and then went into administration and spent some time over the Alpha Center, one of our programs, specialized programs here, and then spent 3 years in Edgecombe County Schools as Director of Exceptional Children, and then was able to come back here in 2016 as Student Services Coordinator, and then eventually Director.
Well, that's a journey for sure. In front of the new school year, what are you doing at Student Services to make sure that your starts off on the right foot for the students in the county? Like, I'm sure you're doing a lot, but like, what
are
the big highlights?
It's been a busy summer, you know, the last few summers because of COVID learning loss. We've had a lot more students attending summer school or summer programming to try to help deal with that. So doesn't seem like there's any slowdown in the summer, but we are gearing up. We have our opening meeting for student services tomorrow, and haven't launched this theme officially with them, but they'll hear it tomorrow morning and probably before this podcast gets launched. So our theme for this year is It Starts With Us, because our district theme is Believe and Lead, Believe and Act. And we really started talking about for student services, It Starts With Us, going back to, if you had some psychology courses, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, it starts with basic needs, physical needs, and removing those barriers. And just so, you know, just that theme is kind of twofold of it starts with us in terms of those barriers and Maslow, but also just it starts with us and our attitude. And it's really important for student services staff to be there to be supportive for our students and families. And, you know, just the whole climate and culture of the building can be sometimes shaped by those people and our attitudes. And hopefully that translates to the students.
So, well, why is that important to the students? Like your attitude, I guess.
So I believe, and when I've taught educators in the past, and just relationships is the heart of education, you know, and that's probably a different view than some of my colleagues who really are focused on the instructional piece. But a lot of our summer administrative work that we've done with our teams has really been focused on relational capacity. And so when I taught psychology at ECU and educational psychology to some of our students who are now leaders in our district, I always started with a quote about students don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so those relationships and, you know, if you come in to school, I mean, and this can happen to us as adults, if you come into work and you've had a really stressful morning for whatever might be going on, whether it's kids didn't want to get out of bed after a summer of sleeping in, or, you know, car issues, or you're just a bad hair day and you just don't feel good about yourself, you get into work and you're not as productive. And that happens for our students too. They come in sometimes with a lot going on at home, and we're trying to teach them. And if they're really thinking about what's going to happen and where am I going at the end of this day, and is there going to be food on the table, or, you know, if, you know, again, in some cases, maybe there's abusive situations, or there's safety issues in the community, or, you know, even just a safety problem on the bus, you know, this kid's been bothering me and I haven't told anybody about it. They're not thinking about that reading or math lesson. So it starts with us, meaning that it starts with the attitudes of being open and receptive to our students and letting them come into our buildings and identify with somebody in that building, whether it's, you know, their teacher, their school counselor, the principal, sometimes it is the bus driver or the cafeteria worker that's, you know, greeting them as they get their breakfast. And so I just really believe that that's just the heart, really, of, again, for me, 30 years of work. And I feel like we're starting to recognize that more and more with the mental health concerns. And
I think so too.
Try to be optimistic. I feel like we're moving forward with that.
I think you are moving forward, because it wasn't really, this wasn't even a topic a while, like, I don't know, I couldn't even say a while ago, like 10 years ago, not talked about at all. And then you can see it slowly coming in, and then again, like, kind of put to the side and then picked up again. So I'm really excited. My daughter goes to Pitt County School, so you telling me things like that makes you pretty happy. She's pretty sensitive, so so I'm glad that people are out there that can understand somebody who's, you know, sensitive to certain things. So she's not going to concentrate. I mean, in my experience, she's not going to concentrate if she's like going through it, whether it be, you know, she's just hungry, or she didn't eat her snack, or somebody was rude to her. She really struggles with people being rude to her, by the way. So,
well, and that, and we all, don't we all, like, I mean yeah, it can change your day. And so I feel like, that's so important just in the environment that we live in. And so, you know, of course my focus is on students, but I also have to realize that it's the staff in the building, you know, like somebody has to be clued into how your daughter's responding. And so if you're dealing with your own baggage of whatever that might be for the adult, like they have to have those same skills that we're trying to build for our students.
So, 30 years is a long time. What are you most proud of that PCS has done for its students under your, well, I guess, you know, while you're there, while you helped her, while you led the way, it just all depends on how you want to see it.
Right. Well, for me, the work that we've done in the last probably about 5 years, might be going on a little bit more than that now, with and learning about trauma-informed work. That was really important to me. Just even as a parent, one of my children has experienced some trauma in their life that's really impacted him throughout. And I honestly, it was like a professional and personal, interest for me when I first attended a session offered by, Eastern AHEC on trauma-informed practices. And then it's just, you know, our community has kind of embraced that, at least in our common community of, you know, community agency work. We've really started to embrace that and just learning more about that, and seeing how that was helping our educators and our students and our community. even prior to COVID, you know, and everything now has that COVID timeline attached to it, but we were doing that work before. I just think as people listen to that, it is something that they are grasping and excited about. And so I'm definitely proud of that work that we're doing. We expanded that this summer for the first time, where we actually taught students at the Pitt Early College resiliency, and they're going to be ambassadors at their schools and teach their fellow students about resiliency techniques. And so just to see how that project takes off, and you know, potentially maybe we can expand that to other high schools. Because I think it's one thing for your teacher or the adults in your school to tell you about it, but if your peers are telling you about it, it might just take on a whole new meaning for our students.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. There's nothing more effective than peer-to-peer education, really, right, that I've seen anyway. Just, you know, thinking back when I was also a youth, though I like to think I still am. I'm not. But I'd like to think that I am.
Me too. Even after 30 years, I feel like, oh, I'm just one of the young folks in the room. And you realize maybe not.
But it's okay. You just go with it.
That's right. But, in our mind, we are. So
absolutely. So I think like peer-to-peer education is really just invaluable, because you don't forget that. Like, it's easy to forget a lecture. It's right. Super easy to forget what you read. But you're not going to forget what, you know, your friend said about this thing, right. And you're gonna be like, right, I remember what my friend said, and they said this, and they might be right. Now sometimes those friends are wrong, so I'm glad you're training these young people, but thank you for that. Speaking about resilience, how do you maintain yours? You got a lot going on. I mean, you might be getting frazzled sometimes, so how do you recenter?
Well, I tell you, a big thing for me this past summer has been that I do now have a teammate, Sarah English, who was a principal at Northwest Elementary School for the past couple of years, has come to the student services team. And so that's been really helpful for my work. Resilience is that I have somebody to partner with and divide some of the tasks. So that's really helped. And I will have to tell you, for me, for my own resilience, I have to be really purposeful about it, because I tend to go around being that person with their brain offline and get really easy frazzled and just get caught up in it if I'm not intentional. So for me, my resilience is really, I find that I can reset when I'm outside. Mm-hmm. I like to spend a lot of time outside. And so recently I've started exercising again for the first time in probably 12 years, like, to doing that consistently. I'll go in little spurts, but so definitely running is something for me, but also just spending time with my family. Mm-hmm. My boys going on little day trips, or I mean, even just going and getting ice cream, you know, just doing something special. But we spend a lot of time outside on the water in the summertime, and going to their games, going for little hikes. Those are things that reset me and just help me keep my priorities straight and mm-hmm. not, you know, get overwhelmed with the chaos of either the job or just our world and our community.
This chaos sometimes, I mean, let's be honest.
It's a lot. Public education right now is kind of hard, you know?
Sometimes, public education, absolutely. I mean, we have Vanessa and Pam and our volunteers, and sometimes I'm even like, what am I doing? What am I doing today? Why is this happening?
Yeah.
So I understand what you mean. Do you have any announcements that you want to make, or events that PCS is having? I know open houses are coming up and all that jazz. So I don't know.
Right. So our teachers started back on Thursday, and today's like the first day that everyone is back in the building. So they have a lot of work going on with meetings the next couple of days. So you wouldn't believe, you know, I don't know if people, again, think that teachers have off all summer and aren't doing any planning and stuff. And that's usually not even accurate. A lot of them work summer school or did training, but they're all back now. We're still looking for staff. So if anyone hearing this, you know, wants to be a teacher or a TA or a bus driver, for sure, we have lots of bus driver vacancies. So We'll pay for you to get your CDL and everything. So just get onto the Bay County Schools website. I'll do a little HR promotion. And then look at, you know, be sure if your parents are community members and want to get involved, you know, social media is a great place to find out specifically what's happening in your school. I know a lot of our middle school and high schools are having some orientation for their like rising sixth graders or rising ninth graders this week. My kids go into an orientation at North Pitt on Wednesday. And then open house. Yes, Thursday is open house day. So our K-5 schools, open houses are scheduled from 4 to 6:30. Mm-hmm. K-8 and 6-8, or middle school, would be 5 to 7:30. And then our high schools are 6 to 8:30. And so they kind of all overlap, but that way it gives parents that might have a kid in each, you know, of those, sometimes in each of those age spans, times to get to the schools. But realize that, you know, those are usually pretty well attended. If you mentioned you have a child in school, you know, it gets kind of,
it's gonna be wild. Yeah.
Kind of busy, you know.
Yes.
It even gets, I look forward to a small school like my kids attend. So I don't, you know, some of these schools that have 1,000 students, it's a lot.
My girl goes to HB Sugg, Sam Bundy, and yeah. It's hopping that way on open right. house. But they do such a great job there. But I think Pitt County Schools does a really good job with all their open houses and everything like that, like getting the word out about it and right. all that. So, but we have a few announcements here. Bonnie Jean would make her announcements, but I'm going to say again that she is not here today. And I don't know what's going on in her life. So
it's hard for both of us to do anything without Bonnie Jean.
It's so difficult, Karen. But I guess I'll make my announcements anyway. So NC Stop Human Trafficking has their webinars. We have our webinars going on all the time. Wednesday, we've got Talking to Kids About Boundaries, Consent, and Porn. One's in the afternoon, and that one's in English, Vanessa. It's also going to be doing one in Spanish. And that's on Wednesday. You can go to ncstophumantrafficking.org/events or /learning opportunities, if I'm not mistaken. Sign up for that. But you know what? I'm going to put it in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about it. Then we also have a documentary, Human Trafficking in North Carolina, as the documentary screening. NC Stop Human Trafficking produced this documentary. It's got survivors in North Carolina talking about their experiences, along with experts in the field across the state talking about vulnerabilities and indicators and best practices and how to report. It's going to be a great thing to view. We did release it a couple years ago, but we've updated the documentary now. We have different subjects in it. That's going to be September 21st from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Pitt County, at Pitt Community College, the Eddie and Joe Allison Smith Center for Student Advancement on Warren Drive in Winterville. So attend that. It's free to attend. You can walk in or register. If you want to register again, it's going to be in the show notes. I'd prefer some RSVPs so we know who's coming, so we get our chairs right. And then we've got Barbecue, Bluegrass, and Brew coming up Friday, October 6th at 7 p.m. Sorry, I forgot the date. And thank you to Pitt County Schools for being one of our gold sponsors.
All right.
So we're excited about that. Yep. But so that's going to be, we're very excited about that. That's our big fall fundraiser. Hank, Patty, and the Kern are playing. They're coming back. 5 years ago, they were with us, and now they're like, we'll do it again. So we are very excited about all of that. And as for announcements, that's all I've got. We have a lot going on always. So it usually takes about a quarter of the time of this podcast to do those announcements. But with that, I want to thank you, Karen, for coming. Thank you for your time.
Can I say one more thing that I didn't think to share is that parents of rising kindergarten, 7th and 12th grade students, if you are not up to date on your immunizations, call your doctor right away. You have 30 days from the start of school to get those completed. So call your doctor and get those scheduled so your child is safe from communicable diseases.